Welcome to the Esports Coaching Essentials Podcast, where we share stories and strategies to help level up your career and business. Powered by Coachify.gg, providing all of the tools you need to run your esports coaching business. Track your students, inspire them to succeed, and turn your passion into profit. Sign up for free today. Today I'm interviewing Saji, a highly requested and experienced League of Legends coach who has completed over 2,100 sessions in the past 2.5 years. He's worked on multiple coaching platforms and hit Challenger in multiple seasons, including last season, which was season 13. Saji, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, I'm excited to be here and thank you for having me.
So let's start with learning a little bit more about your background. Are you coaching full-time right now?
Yes. So I used to be a software developer in the past, which sounds better than it is. It was one of the boring types, not the AI types. And at 2022, end of COVID, more or less, really early 2022, January or so, I quit and I became a full-time coach when coaching became a better option for me economically and also time-wise. And yeah, I'm doing this full-time, so it's my day job. All the coaching and related stuff around League of Legends will be my day job, yes.
Awesome. How'd you get into gaming?
So actually, gaming has been a huge part of my brother's life, my older brother. And back when I was young, I used to watch him for long hours. And he used to be sort of selfish with a family computer. So all I could do is just watch him play. And I would backseat a lot because he wouldn't let me play when I was super young. And he would have like, he would be playing a really like 2 hours long Age of Empires match, yep, or something against the AI. And I would only backseat and sort of tell him what to do because I wouldn't be able to play because he wouldn't let me. And that's sort of, I think from a young age, put the idea of like watching games in my mind. And then eventually I became good also because he was really good at games and taught me a lot, him and his best friend. And from there, I like gather 90% of what I know about games is from those two people, like my brother and his best friend. And when I was around 12 or 13, I finally got my own computer. And that's basically the short story of how I got into gaming. I never had a lot of consoles. If you know, I'm from South America, right? And in the third world, people didn't really have consoles back in the, you know, early 2000s or so. It was way more common to have like either like the family, like the Nintendo, you know, the old Nintendo family console, mm-hmm, or just a PC, right? Only now it's becoming more normal to have a console. My family is from Spain, but I'm from South America, so.
Cool. So when did you first start coaching, you know, other than backseat driving your brother?
Right. So it's one of those things that there wasn't ever like a starting point, but it was sort of like a gradual thing that I'm more and more sort of leaning towards. Well, this is actually something that is legit, actually exists. I think I've been not only in gaming, but I've been kind of a backseat kind of person, annoyingly so sometimes, all my life. Even I remember in school, I would see, you know, a classmate doing a problem that I already solved or something. I would like try to quote unquote coach them, right? Mm-hmm. So there's not a point that I can pinpoint that is like, well, this is when I started coaching. But I started. But back in the day, you see, we just called it helping someone, but the word coaching wasn't even in the lexicon of League of Legends players back in Season 1, Season 2. Even if you helped someone, people wouldn't really call it coaching. It's sort of a new concept, at least the word. But I would say I started doing like actual coaching that you call coaching, and I was conscious of it being called coaching, I would say around 4 years ago, maybe five. Yeah, probably before COVID, yeah.
Yeah. Did you start charging money when you kind of started realizing that, you know, you were actually doing coaching?
Not initially. So it was one of those things that people had to force me to charge money because they were like, well, there's value in this and we feel bad with you doing it for free. And I kept doing it for free. And initially I didn't charge, no. But it was one of those things that I didn't decide to charge, but rather people made me do it because they felt bad doing it for free. And then I just accepted the idea. At first, it was with teams that I, you know, a lot of coaches start this way, coaching teams just for the experience on the resume, mm-hmm, and not so much coaching individual people. So that's how I started. Like, I would coach a lot of my friends and whatnot, but I wouldn't call it coaching. I would just call it, you know, backseating them or spectating them or having fun. But I would coach teams for free. in NA particularly, some university teams or teams that were like getting into NECC leagues or recent leagues. And then I would do it for free, but then the people in those teams, they were like, yo, how can I, like, you know, reach out to you to get coached by you because I like how you're coaching the team. And I'm like, well, I don't really do that. And they were like, what if I pay you? And I was like, okay. And then I accepted.
Very nice. So how did that transition go where you quit your day job to go coaching full time? Were you making, were you like completely replacing your salary at that point? Or was it more of like jumping into the deep end?
Right. So that's a super scary thing to do. And I don't recommend anyone to do it unless they have like a plan, a safety net, everything, right? So I was very careful with it. For a whole year, I was already making equal money to my job, but I wouldn't quit. And I would just work extra hours, like coaching plus the job, because I had a rule that was two things or three things. I wanted to have enough savings so that if the coaching goes down the gutter, I still have like some months worth of, you know, savings to get a new job. I wanted also to be earning more than my job, not equal, at least twice. And the last rule was that I wanted to have, so coaching is quite, you know, freelancing in general is quite a scary thing. You never know what money you're going to get the next month. So I wanted to have something stable and not just the freelancing. So everything lined up in January 2022 because I got a contract with a European team in the Premier League in Germany, which was stable for a couple months. And on top of that, I had my own coaching business going on, freelancing individual people. And those things together were like more than double. Wait, I think it was like triple my salary of my day job, which sounds like a lot, but it wasn't that much. Like, remember, this is still the third world, but, you know, it was really nice for me. And even then, I waited a couple months to have to build like savings to be sure that like this is something I could do. And then I talked about it with, you know, my relatives, loved ones. And I was like, look, I know what I'm doing sounds crazy, but I did the math. I can do this. I can take the jump for 6 months to a year and see what happens. And if it goes to shit or if it doesn't work out, I will just, you know, scale back and go back to whatever job I can find and relate to my industry. But I have everything, all the safety nets possible, you know, redundancy system, safety nets. I would not recommend somebody to just jump on the first train that comes. I waited like a full year to do it. I waited until all the numbers made sense, safety nets, everything can make sense. And you have like all the safety you need.
Nice. I have to imagine that also probably helped you deliver a better coaching experience to your students as well, right? Because you knew you had that safety net, so you know, maybe took a little bit of the pressure off.
Right. So it's a funny thing because it's a balance. I'm gonna make a metaphor here that might sound a bit too dramatic because it's not the same case for me. But there's people that wonder how come South American countries with so little people perform so well in soccer or football, like we call it, right? And some people say that it's because, well, if you grew up in, you know, the Brazilian slums, or if you grew up in an Argentinian low economy neighborhood, football is like the, oh, well, you have this in the NBA in like a poor neighborhood in the USA, right? Like, it's like sports and making it is like the only way you get out of it. And it's like, that's a huge motivation, right? So for me, I remember that having the motivation of maybe one day I can do this for a living, that was the reason and one of the main things I was pushing my coaching for and making me better as a coach, because I always had that huge motivation of like, well, maybe other coaches do this for fun or as a nice thing they like to do, but for me, it's everything. So I got to do my 100%. So yeah, that was the metaphor of the poor kid that plays soccer, although a bit less dramatic, of course, but that was the image I had in my mind.
So you're able to keep the intensity, but still have the safety
net. Yes. The safety net, I think it's just because how I was raised. My parents raised me very, like, never have any debt, never have any, like, you know, big loans or anything. And and safety nets are always, like, part of our family culture, I think. So, yeah, I wanted to play it safe.
Nice. So with that, what's your personal style of coaching?
So it's hard for me to say it from my point of view, because one thing I learned is that there's a huge difference between how you talk to someone and how they receive it, right? Funnily enough, there's a lot of like parallels you can make between coaching and personal relationships, I found. But what I think is my coaching style, I think, it's a combination of three things. Number one is that I always had the idea of how a play should be made in my mind, right? So the way I play League is very similar to the way I coach League, which is I think about the future and I idealize how is the perfect play in this current game state and this current situation. And then when I watch somebody make a play, I compare it to the perfect play that should be made. And I know that is a bit subjective. Sometimes there are more than one good place. But, you know, that way it's like, okay, here's what you did. Here's what you could have done. But that's not enough, right? Because the way humans work is like, if you just point out mistakes, put it this way, right? Let's say you want to learn math or programming and you gave me your first piece of code. And I tell you, well, this function here, this equation won't work. And I just leave. Well, that's not very helpful, is it? You got to tell me like the whole foundation behind it and all that. So changing how a person sees and thinks about the game, I think is the number one thing that I do. That's my style. If you ask me like a short soundbite answer is I change how you see a game. So this involves a lot of not just League of Legends knowledge, but a lot of like psychology and building rapport with a student and trying to him accepting changing their mind. It's not easy to change your mind. Even if you're paying for coaching, you don't realize that you're not paying just to review your mistakes. You're going to be paying to change your mind. And even if you're paying for it, it's kind of hard to, for a human being, any human being, to change their mind. So it involves, my style at least, involves a lot of building rapport, like trying to find common ground with the student and things they like. For example, let's say I have a student from a particular country and I know a fun fact about that country and I'm like, oh my God, this country. So that's the country where this and this happens, right? And they like, that will break their barriers a little bit, their walls and the ice between us. And they will accept changing their mind a little bit more. And then I will start seeing the game from their point of view and being like, look, man, I know how you're seeing the game. This is probably how you're thinking and seeing the game. And usually 90% of the time they will be like, yeah, that's right. That's how I see the game and this play. And then my job is just to change how they see that play and the game. And from there, they can reach their own better conclusions. So it's a bit psychological in nature. It's a bit tearing down your walls, putting myself in your position, making you understand that I know how you're thinking the game, but trying to change that as well. It's not very, I know that a lot of coaches out there will be more like informational dump, a lot of like the tiny things that you did wrong. And I do that too, but I only do that when the walls are already down and I already have a common thread of what you're doing with your mind. And only then I go to like the nitty gritty. I feel like the first step is so important in the student actually taking the information in, is making sure that they are in a position where like they are open-minded enough to change their mind in the first place. Which is, by the way, why I think one of my proudest accomplishments as a coach is not so much making people claim, but the high rate of like people that are never unhappy with the coaching. Mm. I see a lot of coaches out there that they will have the occasional bad student, and that's super normal, right? And I have seen, like, without naming any names, a lot of YouTube content of coaches that are like, oh my God, I found this delusional student. And that video will have like 100,000 views, right? Because it's really funny content or whatever. But I promise you, after more than 2,000 sessions, I've never had a single student that is like delusional like that or argumentative a lot or anything. So I don't think I was lucky. I think it's my style. I just make them have rapport with me and vibe with me, kind of, right?
Yeah. And you're also, you know, trying to actually help them improve versus just make content that people click on and watch.
Yes, I was going to get into that later, but yeah, that's another huge part, yeah.
So would you say that's the most important thing for a coach to do or to learn how to do, is like establishing that, you know, initial connection with the student and making sure they're in the right frame of mind to receive, you know, the advice that you're trying to give them?
Right. I think a bit higher level than that. One, the most important thing for a coach to do is understanding that they are not just a good player, right? So coaching is not just playing good. There are tons of good players out there, right?
Yep.
So being able to transfer, coaching is more like teaching, like transferring your knowledge to someone is super important. How you transfer that knowledge and how you make them improve, not only, because that's the other thing that a coach should know, is like you getting knowledge doesn't necessarily make you better at the game, okay? So I could teach you a lot of facts about League and a lot of knowledge stuff about League that just by knowing it, you're not necessarily going to improve. So you got to understand that coaching is a combination of many things. And a lot of coaches think only about one thing, like I'm good at the game or I can teach you a lot of knowledge. But that's not the same as like the student improving. You knowing more about the game is not the same as you playing better. Sometimes they go by hand by hand, but they are not like necessarily linked, okay?
Yeah.
So if I tell you now, like, oh, by the way, fun fact, did you know Samira passive scales with level and level one, it has only the same range as a Gatling out attack? Like, you're like, okay, I know more about League now. Are you going to claim more tomorrow for this? Probably not. Even if you are like a Samira main, you probably wouldn't claim more just because of that, right? So there's a lot more than just like raw knowledge.
Absolutely. So looking back at, you know, everything that you've experienced, you know, what would you have done differently? Or is there anything you would have done differently?
Yeah, there's a ton. So the first one is doing this sooner because the game is so old already. And I don't think the game is like on a downtrend or anything. I'm not worried about the future of League. But I really wish I had done this sooner so that I could like become more prominent in the scene when there weren't that many coaches. Because sometimes when you're late to something, you get caught in the noise of everybody's doing it. So that's one of my main like things that I would have done differently, start sooner. Another thing that I maybe would have done differently is not just focus only on coaching, but also making content, because I'm one of the only coaches out there that basically only coaches and nothing else. And that's also another like thing that can hurt you because you need to grow also your brand and whatnot. Those are the two main things, coaching wise. Starting earlier would be like huge in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So how do you focus on improving your coaching?
Improving my coaching? Well, there's many things. So this will be like a lengthy answer. So the first thing is that I have a system when I want to improve at something, that especially something like coaching, I do a thing which is I don't look at any coaching content or any other coaches in the scene. I don't know almost any of the names, by the way. And only once a month or once every 2 months, I will see one or two pieces of coaching content of somebody that might be super respectable. So why do I do this? It's to make sure that my ideas are actually coming from me and I'm not just parroting what everybody else in the community is saying in the coaching community. But then once a month or so, see what our coaches are saying for two reasons. Like, one is to calibrate and see if I'm more or less in the right track and my coaching philosophy and the things I teach don't completely counter what other coaches teach. Because if everything I say goes opposite to every other coach, either I'm like a Einstein of coaching genius or I'm delusional. And the second one is probably more likely, right?
Yep.
So that's the first one, to calibrate where like I'm in the right track. And the other one is to like verify that what I'm doing is actually original and has value. So if I'm saying different things, but putting it another way, that has value. But the reason I only do it once a month or once every 2 months. So for example, last month I saw two coaching videos of coaches that I've never heard of. And the reason I do it is, again, calibrating, but also to make sure that my stuff remains original and students have a reason to come to me. So that's one of the things I do to improve. It's like, don't look at other coaches and instead sit long hours and think about the game, analyze games and whatever, and see replays of all elos, but from my own logic and my own like philosophy of how the game should be played. Then once a month, or if you want, if you're less experienced, you can do it a bit more often, like once every week or every 2 weeks, you see another coaching content and compare it to your stuff and confirm that you're on the right track. But what you don't want to do is like copy what they're doing, because if you do that, this is a competitive scene. So the difference with coaching and, let's say, teaching history at school is that if you copy what other history teacher is doing, there's always another school that will hire you. It's fine. You're not really competing with all the other school teachers. I mean, you are kind of, but not to the same demand and supply that we are, right? Like, there's way more healthy demand and supply of, like, teachers, I guess, than of coaches. Coaches are way more, like, you know, only, like, top 2% of coaches will make it, right? Whereas teachers, like a big chunk will make it. So if you're copying a lot of what other coaches are doing, I feel like that will just make you not stand out, right? So yeah. That's something I've done a lot in my life, like make sure that I'm not copying what other coaches are doing, make sure that I'm not even subconsciously influenced. I'm really paranoid about this. I don't even if somebody links me a coaching video of another coach, I don't watch it unless I'm one in one of those days once a month, because I don't want to even subconsciously get one of their ideas and kind of contaminate my coaching with it. I know it sounds ugly saying it that way, but it's one of the ways I ensure that my coaching still has value and different things than other coaches, right?
Yeah.
But it's important to also not be completely isolated in your own bubble, because this is something I would have changed at the beginning, now that you say it. I think that at the beginning of my coaching and at the beginning of my playing in league as well, I think I was way too hard about this, like way too extreme. And I think I got isolated so much in my own bubble of the philosophy of league, where I would start deviating way too much from what everybody knows as common knowledge, and sometimes have some like bad approaches. So I think it's good to calibrate once in a while.
Yeah.
Not isolate completely, but don't copy others either. But also another thing that I improve. So if you ever talk to an artist, like a drawing artist, for example, you know, like an illustrator or whatever, usually they don't like seeing their old work because they cringe, right? Like, oh my God, it was so bad 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But if you don't cringe looking at your old work, it's because you're not improving, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good thing that you cringe at your old work. So that's another thing I do. I look at my own sessions. I have all my old sessions uploaded in my YouTube channel, but in like private mode. By the way, recommendation for coaches out there, don't use Stripe, don't use anything like that. YouTube lets you upload as many videos as you want for free. It's the best like archival tool. You just keep them private. That's it. I have like 1,000 coaching sessions on YouTube. And I look at them, I watch them back, and I do two things. One, I cringe a lot because I'm like, oh my God, I could have been so much better in this session. But that tells me I'm improving at least. So the other thing I do is like looking at that session, I'm like coaching my own coaching, right? I'm like vault reviewing my own vault review, so to speak. So I don't do that consciously. I don't like look at the video and I go like, okay, today is vault review day. It's more like sometimes I'm feeling like I have some free time, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to look at one of these sessions, see what happened, because I'm curious. And then I will get caught in like listening to my own voice and listening to my own coaching session and be like, okay, now I know what I could have done differently. One thing that I improved doing that, for example, is my cadence and how I speak. So as you can see, I have kind of an accent, but it was way worse before. And I took some classes to fix it. And my early sessions, I feel like I would speak like too fast, like the Ben Shapiro of coaching, right? Like way too fast and with a bad accent, and that's something that I improved, definitely.
Wow, you're dropping great suggestions here. This is all fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Man, there's a lot to unpack there. I really like the idea of kind of, you know, making sure you hold yourself apart while not like being completely isolated. I don't think I've talked with anyone that, you know, kind of set it up as regimented as that, where, you know, they have like a specific day where they like go and consume a bunch of other coaches' content to like, you know, make sure they're, you know, kind of calibrating correctly and seeing if there's anything new or interesting. But while still, you know, trying to forge, you know, their own way.
Mm.
Also, absolutely love the VOD review of your VOD reviews. That's, you know, meta humor, but also like, yeah, I mean, it's practice, right? Like coaching is a skill just like anything else. You know, you have to practice to improve it.
Hmm. So the issue with coaching, so you say it's a skill, right? Other skills in life, you have a very direct way of telling how you're improving at them, right? Like you want to go running, like you get the running app, like Strava or the Nike running app, whatever. And you see the improvement every day. Like, you know, one day you might do worse than the last week, but over, you know, 3 months, you will see the improvement for sure, right? Whereas with coaching, it's like so subjective, right? I mean, it is an objective thing that you improve, make people improve, but how you notice whether you're improving or not, it's very like even emotional, right? Like one day you might be feeling down, and that day you see the match history of a student and they lost a bunch of games, and you are like, oh my God, am I like getting worse as a coach and you start doubting yourself. And so there's a lot of like, it's really hard to see the improvement for yourself, except for like, for me, at least I have things like reviews and things like that, that I would like to talk about that for a second after this. But another thing is like, another thing that I do to improve is I don't surround myself with yes men. I think a lot of big figures in the league community or coaching community or just as humans in general, we tend to side with people who agree with us.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you do that too much, like literally only people that agree with you, you're going to end up with nobody to correct you. Whereas if you surround yourself with only people that disagree with you, it gets toxic. And I've been into the two ends and none of them are good. So one thing I do is I make sure that I have at least some people that I can be humble and honestly have them criticize my stuff, but not from an ego and toxic way. And this is really hard to get in league because it's really, really rare that you will find someone who will criticize a coach without an ego factor in the criticism, without like a, you know, like sort of sounding certain way, if you know what I mean, with a demeanor. So one way I do this is I have two friends who are also professional coaches, but in other games. So Call of Duty Warzone and Apex and Valorant. So I have them help me with my coaching style, but they don't know a lot about League. Well, they know about League, but they're like not to my level of skill.
Yeah.
So it's really nice because they don't have a stake in League. So because they don't have a stake in League, they are removed. Their ego is removed from the game. So I feel like the best coaching feedback that I get is from people that are not like playing League too much, but they're coaches themselves. Mm-hmm. So they can, you know, they can give me criticism or help me out, but without the ego of like, oh, I know what you should have done here. By the way, this Ashe going Halo Blades here is so bad. You're trolling. Like they will not say that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that helps a lot, I think.
Nice. I really like that too, because it also, for them, you know, then they're really going to focus on like the coaching aspects, right? Like
yes.
Not the game aspects. Like how are you interacting with the person? You know, how are you making the connection? You know, how are you handling, you know, if they aren't responding to feedback well, that type of thing. So like,
yeah
the meta level of coaching, right? So no, that's great. Man, so if you had to pick out of all this great advice you've been giving and all these fantastic suggestions, if you have to give one piece of advice to a brand new League of Legends coach, what advice would you give them?
Is that number one, that coaching is not just being good at the game. But a lot of people think like, okay, I'm Grandmaster Katarina OTP, therefore I will coach Katarinas. It's not that easy. So it's a lot more. And number two, that's the other part, is a lot more about the human factor than you realize. Coaching is very, very... Coaching is way closer to a therapy session. And I'm not a therapist, obviously, but I feel like it's way closer to a therapy session than it is to a personal trainer gym session. So those are two extremes, right? Personal trainer doesn't really have to teach you anything psychological unless you're like a special type of person that needs it. But normally they will just give you the gym routine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a therapist is quite the opposite. It's only psychological and nothing like so like real in the real world. And coaching is a bit in the middle, but I think it's skews a bit to the therapy side. Whereas a lot of coaches think like, okay, as long as I know how to play a game, I can coach you. Don't get me wrong. A silver player will always get some help from a grandmaster player that plays their own champion or whatever. But that's not the same as being like a coach. Like, I feel like that's one, the main advice is focus on like learning how to coach, not just being good at the game. This is why I said that one of the ways I improve my coaching is having people help me with the coaching that don't even play that much League. Because my skill in League, I don't doubt it, and I already know it there. So I don't need people to come and help me out with it. Like, what, they're going to get me from 1,000 LB to 1,500 LB? It doesn't make a lot of difference from my coaching, okay?
Yeah.
Because I'm coaching people in Diamond Master anyway, right? So, and even lower, so... Me being like, instead of top 0.02% to top 0.01%, it doesn't make a difference for my coaching, like improving my gameplay and having them review like, oh, the gameplay advice you're getting here, there's actually a better macro play. That doesn't help a lot. What helps way more is reviewing your actually systems of how you coach, how you get the information to the other guy, and he starts applying it.
Awesome.
And that is something that I I was lucky, because I also thought that coaching was just playing good. But then I realized that all my life I have been teaching things. Like, I like teaching a lot. And I like backseating, quote unquote, a lot. Mm. And because I liked backseating so much, I remember being in school and being like,
yeah,
this guy's doing the homework wrong, and I really want him to make the homework right, because it's just, I don't know if I have something in that, but it just felt so like an itch of like teaching this guy how to do it properly. He's not doing it right. I gotta teach him. And ever since I was a child, I've been like self-correcting how to do that. So
yeah.
So the main advice is, like, don't think that just being good at the game is coaching. It's way more like out the human aspect. And the number two is, like, be humble about it. A lot of people like treat coaching like imposing your knowledge because you have the authority. Mm. And I feel like treating the student at the same level as you helps them so much more. I do usually. I don't treat them like I'm above you and you should trust my advice because I'm Halo, right?
Yeah. Well, nice. Yeah. A little extra bonus piece of advice there. So to kind of wrap us up, you know, what are your future plans?
So the one thing, so this is the thing I wanted to mention, I didn't yet. So a lot of people will be surprised of how much experience I have with coaching, because they probably don't know me. I'm not like famous at all, right? So the thing is, I'm probably one of the only coaches out there that has coached this many sessions without having any social media presence. I don't even have a Twitter, for example. I don't really like that kind of social media. And I think my future plan is scaling my coaching outside of just websites and my own website, to a point where I can get like content going on. Mm-hmm. So I hired two editors and thumbnail artists, and my plan is to start making content and not just the coaching. And I feel like it's good that I took this path, because if I started making the content and coaching at the same time, my initial content would have been worse. And also people would be like, okay, this is just a random video from like a, you know, coach that had like 10 sessions coached, 100 sessions coached. And there's plenty of those in YouTube already. Whereas now, if I start making content now with this portfolio, like resume, I think it's a better starting point. It's like the difference. Imagine you make an application, like an app, like, I don't know, like a chat app for the iPhone, and you have no users. The app is kind of doomed to fail. But if you make the app when you already have like 100,000 users from the get-go, it's way better. So this is, I think it's fine that I waited like 2 years till I start making content. But yeah, that's my future plan. I want to scale my business and start making a lot of content. And lengthy content that is like, you know, coaching sessions. And like, I have a notepad list of like things that I want to do videos about, like these tiny league concepts that nobody talks about, things like that. I think that would be nice. I don't really want to grow in social media itself, like Twitter. I don't care for it. I feel like it's more dangerous than good. It's like a liability, right?
Yeah.
Whereas YouTube is a bit more safe. So YouTube, TikTok, that kind of thing, that's my future plan, like growing that. And also probably traveling to Europe this year to play solo queue in Europe again. I did it last year. It was pretty fun.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely be keeping an eye out for that content coming out. Where can people find you online if they want to connect?
So usually it's just Coach Saji or Coach Sagittarius. I'm not a Sagittarius, before people ask. They always ask that. So, fun fact, I play AD carry, okay? And Sagittarius, if you look at the constellation, it's like a bow and arrow, and that's like the icon of ADC.
Nice.
So that's why. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's kind of roundabout. Yeah, so Coach Saji in both Twitch and YouTube, if you search for those. And then if you want to get a coaching session, there's plenty of sites. So Coachify is the one that brings us here.
Cool. We'll put links in the show notes. Thanks again for joining us. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you.